Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Attraction HQ podcast, where we look at love, sex, dating, relationships, how you can have more of them, how they can be better quality, how you can feel inspired and become a better person within yourself by ignoring conventional dating advice, taking outside strategies and perspectives, and striving to become the most real, authentic, honest, and sexiest version of yourself. Hello, folks, and welcome back to another Attraction HQ podcast. I'm joined today by yet another one of Hayley's long list of very old and very cool friends. His name is Aslan Claymore. He has been involved in the creation of many amazing dating and masculinity ideals. I also really love him as a friend. He's literally saved my butt on a couple of occasions, so he's a really good person as well, which is also important to me. He's currently also rearranging magazines on my bookshelf, so he's a little bit OCD, but has a wealth of knowledge to give you around things to do with masculinity and how you can improve your sense of self to have more luck with womankind. So, hey Aslan, how are you doing?
I'm good. I was just looking at your Hornby magazine, that's why. I saw the little title and I was intrigued.
He's actually stumbled across a stash of magazines left behind by my evil ex-boyfriend, which I intend to, no joke, burn in a YouTube video. But that's another story. We actually met actually for lunch earlier today. And what Aslan was telling me about was a really interesting story. And as you guys know, I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to anything history, mythology. And this story really got my attention because it was an interesting metaphor for different kinds of masculinity. And different kind of masculine ideals. Now, you might be thinking, how in the hell is this relevant to me? In fact, what you might be experiencing with women, whether it's that you are always the friend or you're struggling to, you know, you see a woman you like, you struggle to be direct and open about your feelings, or you're constantly helping women out and are never the guy they choose to go out with or have a sexual relationship with, a kind of an understanding of these masculine archetypes that have been woven into our culture, big words, is actually really helpful because it helps you to understand different ways of being a man. And if the precise way of expressing yourself right now is not working with women, there's going to be a different way to live, but it's still actually yourself. Now, this is all sounding quite mystical, so I'm going to flip over to Aslan because I just want him to tell me or tell you guys that story that you mentioned to me earlier in Pod Coffee Shop.
Hello everyone. First of all, the guys are probably thinking, who the fuck is this guy? Am I like, can I say fuck?
Oh yeah, we swear loads on this podcast, it's totally acceptable.
They're thinking, who the fuck is this guy? So, I've been in the men's improvement dating advice industry for about 5 years, I think. And I knew you before you even entered this industry.
Yeah, so get this, how weird is this? We both knew each other from the same small town in Berkshire before we both got into dating. And then I found that Aslan was working with a really, really big dating company at the time, and he splintered off and he set up his own businesses around it and has really been very formative in terms of introducing brand new ideas around how men can be men and how men can meet women. And he's been an absolute thought leader and also was really fundamental to, like, we used to live together actually at a flat back in the day.
Oh, the
Do you remember
stories,
that? Oh, the stories.
I've got.
It was a messy flat, let's start with that. And but we had some really good adventures there. And it was, you know, we were both kind of like young and out and like...
I'm still young.
Well, we're getting older, aren't we?
What are you talking about? 32 is... I'm about to enter my prime.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm entering my prime.
Well, I'm being a woman, I'm of course rotting by this stage. We used to go out and like, it was all the experience of living together, meeting women during the daytime, going out to parties, having some house parties, working individually on our... businesses, as Anne also knows, you know, some of the other people that you might know very well from this podcast, like Paul Janker and Pete Sweeney.
Been on here?
Oh, yeah, everyone's been on here. Oh, yeah.
Kind of a big deal.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah, right. Of course. We have all the big shots. So, you know, to say that also, you know, it's rare that I have somebody on here, you know, though, that I don't think highly of, but, you know, I have to have people on here that I really respect. And I can honestly say there was this key moment where I was kind of without a home. And if Aslan hadn't sorted me out with some accommodation, I would have been on the streets and I couldn't be here to give you any dating advice today. So I'm personally indebted to him.
You've got to do your charity work sometimes.
You know, karma. Karma.
Help the homeless.
Help the homeless.
That's always been my motto.
But also it means I've had lots of direct personal experience of, you know, the ideas he's brought and how he's helped loads and loads of men. We've even coached some of the same people over the years. So that is a bit more of your backstory.
Yeah.
Do you think they're prepared now to hear the night story?
I think so. But no, they need that. Like, people need a bit of a back thing. Otherwise, they're like, who the fuck's this guy? What's he on about? Red Knight. Oh, that's what I'm calling it. But yeah, so I had this company. And through that company, I've taught workshops all around the world. I've taught thousands of guys. I had a product that was listed as the number one dating advice product on a lot of sort of dating advice review sites and stuff. So recently, I've sold that company, and I'm setting up this new thing called Life Loaded, which is kind of my vision for a grand, big, diverse self-development brand for men. And I'm starting with what I know. I'm starting with how to talk to women, how to attract women, all that kind of stuff. So the sub-brand under Life Loaded is called Red Knight. And Red Knight represents the kind of man that basically women are attracted to. The Red Knight sort of represents and symbolizes the kind of man that women fantasize about. Or at least like it, the kind of energy that is missing in most men. And I'm working with a guy called Paul Janker, who's a good friend of mine.
Who we know and love and who is extremely wise.
Yeah, he's funny as well.
I know, and good looking. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah.
Yeah, so Paul's a laugh. So yeah, me and Paul working together, and Paul's the one that's kind of... he's going to be the sort of the name and the authority behind this Red Knight brand. And yeah, we're working on everything right now. We're working on the first ebook we're going to be coming out.
And I was just grabbed by your general concept, because I think the story and the concept you gave me was such a good representation of different things, and it was easy to kind of like grasp. And I think that the guys listening to it will kind of listen to the story and go, they'll identify with some of the characters. So it was like, it was a Grimm's fairy tale. Am I getting this right?
Yeah.
I love Grimm's fairy tales. Which one was it?
Well, it's not a well-known one. Like, I've actually, I went to Amazon and I bought this, like, Grimm's, you know, fairy tale book that has apparently, like, hundreds of the stories. And it didn't even have this one in it. So it must be a really rare one. But it's called Something Hands. It's, like, originally, obviously, a German name, but it's been... it was translated to Iron John. And some guys might have read this book. There's a book called Iron John written by a guy called Robert Bly. And the book is just like an analysis of this story, Iron John. And because he hypothesizes that the story is actually far, far older than when it was written by the Grimm brothers. And it was actually kind of... because the Grimm brothers... A lot of these stories they didn't sort of create. These were folk tales that they just kind of collected and put on paper. So they sort of theorize, or he theorizes, that this story is ancient, and the story of Iron John kind of is about the rite of passage of the masculine. So it's just filled with symbology, this story. And he goes through and analyzes it, and it's fascinating. So there's a part of the story I mean, I'm not going to go through the entire story because one, I'd probably mess it up and I'd forget things, and two, it'll take too long. So there's a part of the story where the boy in the story needs to go to the forest where the wild man is, and the wild man is a key figure in this story, and it sort of goes back to this kind of the archetype of the wild man, you know, and I kind of see that as the rock star and all this kind of stuff. The wild man represents man. It basically represents pure spontaneity and also a connection to nature and all this stuff, but I won't go into that. Anyway, so the boy goes to the wild man and he needs the wild man's help. And the wild man gives him red armor, like a red horse, like a chestnut horse. And he basically becomes a red knight and he goes off to do the thing he needs to do. And he comes back. And then he gets given a white horse and white armor and goes off to do the thing. And then when he comes back a third time, he gets a black horse and black armor. And Robert Bly hypothesizes, more than hypothesizes, he kind of explains and he goes into, like, what I like about this book is it goes into all these other different mythologies and tales and things and shows you how these, like, for example, that the color or the colors of red, white, and black, and how that is also in other tales, and how there's all this.
They're very symbolic. So when you were saying this to me earlier, I was like, "Ooh, I know what that means." Because I am like a massive mythology story book reader. You know, you guys might know this, but I actually studied English of all weird things. So I've read a lot of medieval and even older literature. And so I was like, "Wow, red! I know what that's about, and I know what white's about, and I kind of know what black's about." And it's about this, but those key colors kind of symbolize a journey through masculinity towards like a really super strong ideal. And if you think about it, guys, in the past, probably a very long time ago, and still in some tribal cultures, that there's a passage to masculinity, which is all about actually somebody going out into the woods or going out into nature and through that process becoming a man. Now, red, I'm going to chunk this down for you a bit, and then I'm going to give it back to Aslan so he can explain how this is relevant to you and your journey, because I think a lot of the time in our current society, and I'm talking like Western Europe and Northern America and Australia, there's these kind of rites of passage which we don't really get to do anymore, right? Because like we're brought up in a very civilized society, we have a set education, we have things we're allowed to and we're not allowed to do. And I think a root cause of why lots of men maybe are not having the dating and romantic and sexual success that they want is because they're disconnected from a part of themselves, or they think a part of themselves that is more sexual and is more masculine is wrong and is naughty and is bad. The amount of times I have guys come to me and they see being sexual or direct with a woman as bad or wrong, and so they deprive that part of themselves. And all this means is that there's some dudes out there who are being sexual with women and often not treating women in a particularly great way, that women then encounter, have sex with, deeply regret having sex with them, and they get turned off more men in the future and become more defensive. And then there's a whole bunch of guys who are really amazing, decent, good people at heart, but who struggle to represent themselves as a sexual person. And actually, it's about understanding that there is a third way where you can be ethical, strong, good to people, upfront, honest, and also sexual. Like, sexual is a good thing, and it's a route and it's a passageway that you have to go down to be a more complete version of yourself. So how does this relate to the knight stuff? Okay, so red is the red knight, remember, the first color that you get, is all about engaging with that kind of like primal sexual energy. It's a you'd say like a rooty color. It's to do with being physical. It's to do with being in the body. It's to do with being sexual. It's to do with being powerful. And that really is the first phase. Now white, which is the second knight's color, is much to do with purity of intention and saving, you know, the knight and, you know, the white knight who comes to people's rescue. Now, that's all good. Believe me, I'm all in favor of white knights. I've had some really great ones myself in my life. However, if you try to be sort of morally amazing and you save people, but you're not able to be also sexual and active and masculine, it's like you got one piece of the puzzle, but you haven't got the other piece. And that will often mean that you might end up putting a lot of shelves for women, giving them lots of support, really helping them out. All of these things are good, but that it's not right if that then doesn't translate in a way that is masculine or that's sexual. And you'll probably end up thinking like, oh my God, she's gone off with that guy. And I was the one that put in 6 months of like being nice and good to her. Why is this, it's not working? So part of the red night, from my understanding of it, and you know, Aslan, you can correct me if I'm totally going off on one here, but it's about that passageway to reconnect with that more primal, sexual, physical strength of masculine energy. And then when you go through that gateway of experience, you then kind of arrive at a place where you're a more consolidated version of man, and then you can just progress forwards. Is that doing this any justice, or have I got this back to front? So this was a coffee shop conversation, so I'm trying to remember it, but I thought it was really good.
Actually, it's just girls like guys in red armor. That was it. Yeah, just put on some red armor and girls
get a red t-shirt. And
girls,
you're all good.
Girls will dig it. That wasn't a bad. That was you got that from our conversation in the coffee shop. That's pretty good. I mean, the thing is with this whole night thing that, you know, I read that book and I've been reading a lot about Carl Jung's masculine archetypes, which I can go into a little bit as well. And obviously, I've got my experience doing what I do, and it always sounds like I'm boasting when I say this, but fuck it, I've approached thousands of women all across the world. I've dated a lot of women. I've had the pleasure of meeting and dating and sharing beds with some amazing women. And through that, I mean, to be honest, I think I've learned most from women by having sex with them. I know it sounds a bit
it's a pretty punchy experience though,
well,
isn't it?
I mean, yeah, because there's
and sex isn't bad, right? This isn't, it's important to go like
sex is amazing.
No,
but the
bad
thing is that like when you have sex with a woman, there's no, that's when the truth happens. Like there's no bullshit from both people. It's like it's raw, it's pure, and that's when you both experience like something really. Assuming that you got there through, you know, not bullshitting, for example. But I mean, like you're both naked in bed, sharing this moment together. Like the guards are down, the walls are down, and you're both experiencing this kind of raw energy together. And I sound like a hippie saying this, but it's true. Like you get to experience. Depending on how experimental you are when you're in the bedroom, you get to experience a lot of what sexual polarity means. Like, what is it? And when you behave certain ways, you experiment with doing different kinds of things, and the girl reacts in different kinds of ways. So, you know, like all of the stuff that I think that I know is from my own experience. Like for example, I read a lot of David Deida's work. For guys who haven't read his book, Where the Spirit of Man, I highly recommend that. But when I read that book, I didn't have the experience that I now have. I read it and I found the stuff he talked about with sexual polarity fascinating, but I didn't have the direct experience of doing certain things with a girl in the bedroom and having her react in a way that I was like, oh, I get it now. So as that with some kind of context, that will hopefully... yeah, contextualize what I'm about to say. So this red night idea, I read that Robert Bly thing. I read it a while ago, but I reread it, when I was coming up with this life loaded thing, because I wanted something, some angle, some core idea to kind of to be the thing that that what I teach to be about. Well, with Paul as well, and I like the idea that. There's something missing in modern men today. And when I talk about modern men, I'm talking about Western men. I mean, there's some cultures where it's not as pronounced. But I think that we have a society of white knights. And if you type in white knight in Google, there's sort of a cultural reference. There's like an urban dictionary kind of thing, you know. And they say that a white knight is somebody who... puts women on pedestals and buys them loads of things and takes them to dinner thinking that, you know, by treating them nice and buying them things, that's how they'll get women to like them, and they think women need rescuing and all this kind of stuff. And it's not the actual sort of mythological definition of what a white knight actually stands for. It's like a modern take on it, but they're not completely wrong. A white knight is... I'll start with what a white knight should be. So this tale of the boy going through the three stages, the red, white, and black. Now the red, like you said, red is the psychology of a kind of a juvenile, a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's an adolescent kind of psychology. It's the like controlling, this is mine, desire for power, lust, aggression, power, spontaneity and unpredictability and sex and sensuality and all this kind of stuff. And the White Knight is meant to be the man that has transcended that and moved past it. Like he's been through that. He's done it all. And now he no longer is satisfied and fulfilled by these things and wants to serve a higher purpose. He wants to fight the evil of the world. He wants to slay all the dragons in the kingdom. He wants to save the princess. And it's the saving princess thing that is the closest thing to what people call White Knight now. But the difference is we live in a world of White Knights, but these are White Knights who never went through the Red Knight phase.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys who were shamed out of that way too early. Because like they said in Fight Club, I believe that we live in a society where men aren't really raised by men anymore, in the sense that there's a lack of strong masculine role models, be it in a father figure or whatever it is, right? So that women then have no choice but to kind of step up and be the sort of the power in the household and be sort of raising the guys. Now, are there going to be examples where you get amazing strong men raised by women? Of course. But I'm talking about if you take a macro look at the world, it's you know, you're a girl. You know what guys are like mostly. They're pussies. They're pussies. They're passive aggressive.
I would say from the female perspective, there is a distinct lack of guys who are strong, upfront,
yeah,
unapologetic, okay to be sexual with you. Like, if I should say this, I'm going to say it. Fuck it.
Say it.
Say it. Fuck it. I went on a date with on Sunday, and it was with this Brazilian man.
Was he Brazilian?
He is Brazilian.
Did he
now
have an accent?
Yeah,
yeah.
He was hot. Nice. He was Brazilian, get this, gymnast and hand balance artist.
Bloody hell.
I know.
He must have had arms the size of tree trunks.
Right, so we're thinking, you see why I went down that route, right? You could see the appeal that was coming through. Now, interestingly, culturally, he's like, you know what? He's like, I respect women. I would never hurt a woman.
Yeah.
But if a woman is looking at me and she's giving me that look, he's like, I'm going to fucking take that woman, you know?
Yeah, yeah. See, that's,
and it's, and he said that to me and I'm like, oh my God, that's so hot. And it's true. I wasn't like affronted or felt like I was in the presence of someone who wasn't for women, but he was just centered in his masculine energy enough that he knew that if he saw something that he wanted and he could see the woman in her own way communicated that she wanted that as well, of course he was going to kiss her. Of course he was going to take her home. Of course he was going to, because he was not, it's like, and he's a good person as well. He's a lovely guy and really sexual. And I think this is a great combo of what the masculine could be. Of course, he grew up in the Amazon rainforest, so I'm sure this helped.
Did he?
Yeah. Fucking hell, exactly.
But
for all of those of you that weren't fighting jaguars in your early years, perhaps some of this experience, and I think a lot of experience generally, particularly in like our education system, it kind of like waters down the male and female roles and stops people from being primal, like a lot of the time.
This is why I said this applies mostly to Western culture. I know Southern America counts as Western still, but Latin America is slightly different. I haven't got many customers in Latin America because the culture is different. And like there's certain regions of the world where the more old school gender roles are more present.
And they find they don't listen to any dating advice.
Well, they don't need it as much,
no.
I think. But yeah, Latin America, Russia, a lot of Eastern Europe and stuff, like you've got more traditional gender roles. And obviously there's positives and negatives of that. But the massive negative of, you know, the sort of the way men are brought up and seen, and all this masculine shaming that you see all the time. And, you know, you've got men who very, very young as boys, they're shamed out of embracing that adolescent powerful energy, that sexual dangerous energy. So you know, they're told to behave, told to get down from there, don't cause any trouble, don't do anything dangerous, put that away, you know. And and it's not just like, you know, parents, it's culture in general, because you're told you have to be a good nice boy and blah 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 blah. And so now we've got men that are that aren't in touch with that dangerous, powerful side of themselves, which expresses itself as unapologetic sexuality.
That women happen to find extremely hot and attractive, and also because it's like a scarce resource. It's like,
well, even if it wasn't a scarce resource, it's an energetic thing. Women are attracted to it because it represents this kind of energetic polarity. And a feminine woman is always going to respond positively to a man that is very...
I think it actually it could be even more for a masculine. I would say, like, on the scale, I'm on the masculine woman side of things. Like, I run my own show. I'm very independent, physically strong.
No, but here's the thing.
Polarity, when someone meets somebody that has that energy, if they have it really centered with themselves, then I feel comfortable to almost let my guard down and become the woman. And then I love it. It's like I'm on holiday. It's fabulous.
Here's my a lot of my theories might even sound a bit like sexist or whatever, but the thing is, I don't give a shit, so I'm going to say it anyway.
Trust me, I'll pull up any sexism in here as well. We only have nice representation.
You know, my intentions are good, so fuck it. So, I think that, and again, all these ideas are kind of spontaneous. I haven't really kind of written them down and developed them. So some of these stuff, it might not sound too kind of concrete, but it's like, if you were going to define masculinity and define femininity, it's kind of, it's hard to pin that down. But if I was going to try, then the masculine is, and they actually talk about this a lot in Hindu mythology and all this kind of stuff. Like the Shiva is the masculine, and I think Parvati, I think, is the feminine. But the masculine is that which does not move and does not change. It is the witness. Mm-hmm. It is it cannot be altered, manipulated, spoiled, or changed. And the feminine is change. The feminine is movement. The feminine is energy. And I sound like a hippie saying this stuff, but it's almost like there's like a Hindu statue where you've got, might even be Shiva, I think, is on his back, dead. And he's got an erect penis. And I think it's Parvati, I don't know, but then there's this feminine energy which is dancing around him. And it kind of represents the masculine is immovable, unchangeable, uncorruptible, which is kind of represented by being dead. Like, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. But then the erect penis represents awareness, consciousness, alertness, absolute presence. And many, many times women have told me that one of the sexiest things a guy can do in her presence is be present. Because that presence represents that deep, deep, immovable masculine energy. And then you've got the feminine energy, which is dancing around him constantly. So Hay just said that she thought she was like a... did you say you thought you were a masculine woman? Because I don't agree with that. Here's what I think. I think that you've seen the yin and yang symbol, where there's the yin, the yang, the masculine, feminine, but also within each one is also the opposite. So in every man, there's a feminine essence. Within every woman, there's a...
Yeah, I think everyone's a combo of the both, and they have the ability to go into different aspects of themselves, so, depending on their environment and who they're interacting with and their state of mind.
So I don't think that there's like a sliding scale of, oh, I'm just a more masculine woman. No, I think that it's like almost like, rather than having a single sliding scale, instead you've got two different bars. You've got like your feminine and your masculine, two separate things. And I think that a woman and a man can develop their masculine side and their feminine side. And I think you've got a develop... I'm attracted to women who have developed masculine within them, because then it means they can focus, they're ambitious, they have drive, and they have this sort of strength. And I like that in a woman. Like I like like Ronda Rousey. She's fucking hot, right?
I don't know who Ronda Rousey is, but I'm going to Google.
She's UFC champion.
Okay, she sounds cool. Right?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
She's hot, but I've read her autobiography, and there's a drive and a focus, and I like women who have a healthy, developed masculine. And but then people think, oh, Ronda Rousey is masculine, right? But you know, she will admit this, that if there's a hot guy, what happens? She then melts into her feminine. But it takes a strong masculine to for a strong girl with a developed masculine to do that. And like, that's why you might experience a girl who is quote unquote bitchy, and I can get into all this kind of stuff, like why that is and everything else. But then if you demonstrate that she can trust you, meaning that you have integrity and you are who you say you are, then she will melt into her feminine. And this is all the stuff me and Paul are going to be talking about.
And these are beautiful qualities as well to manifest. So I'm just thinking, with the guys that are listening to this, are probably like, oh, wow, this is amazing, detailed, rich, getting the picture. Is there any, you know, I know this is a journey, and you're with the Red Knight, you're going to lead them on that. Are there any kind of basic practices or daily practices or anything you could recommend for guys to even just begin to break into this Red Knight energy?
Well, if you can't go to a jungle and wrestle...
What were we saying? Wrestling, what was it earlier?
Jaguars
and rhinos. Jaguars,
then... yeah, I mean, I suppose just to quickly close off the whole like, what the hell is a Red Knight thing, it just represents all of these powerful, it's like, it almost represents an archetype within every man, and I want to awaken the Red Knight in every man, because it, like, the Red Knight almost represents, on like, there's almost two facets of the Red Knight. One is the bad boy. Now, we don't want guys to become bad boys, but there are these amazing, powerful, positive traits of the bad boy that are in there, in that Red Knight. And the kind of guys you were talking about, Hayley, like, you know, you don't want guys to be sexual, but then disrespectful and abusive and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guys who are like that, they've gone through this Red Knight phase and they've kind of got stuck there.
Right.
And they've also, they didn't have the kind of positive role models to direct that energy in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, you know, like, when you watch movies, you see, like, often the most attractive guys in movies for women are men that they're kind of bad boys, but they have this good side that they kind of...
Right, that is honestly, I can say this for, again, the female. What you want is you want a guy who's like, okay, he's... focused, he's passionate, he's got his course in life, he can protect and defend, and you know what, to other people in the outside world, he's a badass. To you, you represent a special spot where he'll actually protect you, and you kind of enter into his energy, and that is like, oh wow, that is so hot. Like, that's why I like the concept for me of, like, I don't know, someone who works in special forces or that kind of masculine role model of someone who go out there, thwart the bad guys in the world, is kind of riding on, but then would be able to protect you and wouldn't turn aggression towards you.
Well, here's the thing, because there's guys out there like, well, I'm a computer programmer, so I'm not in the SAS. But here's the thing.
But that's there's just no a representation way. Of someone who's out. And I think you can be a computer programmer and
trust
still do
me.
All those things.
No, I'm going to get to that. Like, you can be, doesn't matter what you are. Like, here's the thing. So this Red Knight thing, it just represents all of that stuff that has that you never went through, because you were, society shamed you out of it, and it just didn't happen. And all, you know, the whole kind of pickup and seduction industry There's so much dodgy shit out there, and there's so much bullshit. There is so much bullshit. It often, a lot of it is like the blind leading the blind, in the sense that there's guys, they've got YouTube channels, they're doing this, they're approaching women, and guys who don't see that these guys are full of shit. They're getting some, they're getting some kind of like results on camera or whatever it is.
Of one out of 1 million takes, and then they're also just using like parlor tricks, I think.
But the girls are just like whatever. But I mean, the best women, the queens, the goddesses, the tens, and I don't mean tens like a girl with big tits and like some Miami chick. Or when I say a ten, I mean your queen. I mean the kind of girl that you have to work hard to become worthy of her. You have to become a worthy man, and that takes a lot of work. And so it should, you know. So that's kind of what I want the Reprint Knight to represent. So there's the badass side of Red Knight, and then there's the seducer, the lover side of the Red Knight. And that's, so the badass is more, I'm going to get to that in a second, is more about the guy who's has integrity in the sense that he acts in accordance with his emotions, his thoughts. He says what he says. He doesn't change for the girl. So it's more of a kind of a warrior vibe. And the lover is the sexual nature, is the sexuality, the sexual being that is repressed with so many guys. So again, it's a big, big topic, but you want guys to have like a takeaway thing, right?
Yes, well,
here's the thing. I'm going to tell guys a secret. And if they really, really get this, if they really, really understand this, then it will change the way they perceive everything. Here's the secret. The best quality women out there, the highest quality women, the most feminine, irrespective of how developed perceptive their masculinity is. Like, you might think, oh, she's a badass, she's a bitch. And I mean, you know, that's just like the girl, you know, we live in a man's world. It's true. So if a woman wants to succeed in a man's world, she has to develop that masculine side of herself. It's just the way it goes. But the women who have this beautiful, beautiful femininity within them, and they are the most high quality women, they will try and destroy you. Now, what do I mean by that?
Oh, you can see my face is like...
No. Initially, they'll try and destroy you. And what I mean by that is the highest quality women, at a certain age, when they come, they become, you know, beautiful at a certain age, then they've got dick coming at them from all directions all the time. Want some dick? Hey, you want some dick? Want some dick?
Listen, this isn't a very nice thing to experience, by the way. It's like walking a tightrope across a pond of alligators.
Dick? So. Want some dick? No? Want some dick? It's like constantly, all the time, want some dick? Want some dick? And it's it comes across in the smallest gestures from a guy, you know, wanting to do things for you and stuff. In other words, he's like, do you want my dick? Do you want my dick? And it's guys offering themselves to girls. And always with the White Knight, it's in a roundabout, passive way, not being direct, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, so, you know, women need to be able to screen guys very efficiently, and quickly. And, you know, some girls are more nice about it than others, but let's just go right to the girls who are like, they just want to be efficient. And the only way of, I mean, look, just think about this from a practical perspective. If there's there's a piece of material I give you in front of you, what's the only way you can test if it's strong? Try and break it. It's the only way of doing it. So if what turns a woman on the most, if what she's looking for is a man who has a strong, powerful, masculine essence, and if a masculine essence represents that which cannot be changed, that which cannot be destroyed, corrupted, or manipulated, if she's looking for a man with integrity, then the most efficient way she has of being able to find out if that's true is she's going to try and destroy you. She's going to try and push you. She's going to try and break you. And that comes across as the bitchy girl. The girl who has an attitude, the girl who tries to test you. And it's a massive thing that guys misunderstand. The highest quality, like, a lot of this stuff I need to kind of, it's a big subject. Like, as you're developing as a man, the first thing is going to happen is she won't do that. Because no one wants to shoot a puppy. And all the time you're being super nice and super, you know, not trying to ruffle any feathers and all this kind of stuff. She won't try and destroy you because she recognizes that you're just a puppy, right? And then when you start to get braver and you start to lose your the shackles of how your identity is completely dependent on the opinions of other people, and you start to sort of venture out into the unknown, and you start to sort of develop your integrity and not trying to please people and stuff. Now you might start to represent to a girl potential, but she still needs to find out if you are who you say you are. And she's going to do it to a lesser or great or more harsh degree. She's going to test you. She's going to push you to find out, you know, if you are who you say you are. And it could come across as the lightest, gentlest ways of just testing your opinions and sort of not agreeing with you and not going with what you're saying, all the way to that absolute bitchy girl who just says fuck off, right? Now, if a girl was to ever say fuck off to me, I understand what is really going on. I mean, sure, she could really be having a bad day or whatever, but generally, it's just dick, 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 dick. And she needs to test to find out who's the real man here. Who's the man who is really who he says he is, you know? And then as you develop and as you start to kind of get more confident, you'll get tested more and more and more. And this testing phase might be just one thing she says. It might go on for longer until she realizes she can trust you. As soon as she realizes she can trust you, that will fall away and she'll melt into a feminine. And even in marriages, this stuff comes up, you know, where the guy's tired and he's sort of relaxing and isn't really representing his strength. And a girl wants to find it, so she'll start an argument. She'll start to sort of act, be bitchy and stuff because she wants him to kind of step up and be the masculine again. But I believe you will come to a point in your development where she will just recognize in you immediately your truth, your authenticity, your masculinity, and she won't even bother testing you because she sees it right there.
I would like to point out here that women don't consciously test guys. No. Or very rarely consciously test guys. It's a very subconscious...
It's an energetic, subconscious thing.
...thing, and it is based in trust. However, women don't behave, you know, it's not like they're just behaving bitchy or erratic for the sake of it or to put you on challenge, because that would make women psychos. Instead, it's often like our means of expression as women are different. Our language is different. Our communication is different. And the way that feminine energy becomes positive and it becomes beautiful is it's like, you know, the she's the flowing river, you're the fucking banks, okay? Yeah. And that's when things combine nicely. When a man misinterprets the woman's language, because remember, we are in a man's world, and so the language we're taught is the language of the man. And so sometimes a woman's language can be like, oh, she's just being freaking out, she's being irrational. She's being feminine and she's being a woman. Yeah. And to understand it as that and not to understand it is, and so some guys go, oh, she's attacking me, so I'm going to be like a volatile monkey and I'm going to attack her back. Not only is this obviously can lead into really, really bad situations personally, but it's also not going to bring out the best in either of you. You know, masculine and feminine balance, energies that balance one another. And so actually by being comfortable in this masculine role, you're going to find that your relationships with women improve, because as she relaxes and she trusts you and she sees you as a person who has strength, who has integrity, who's that ability to care for her in that way that only a man who's really centered and really grounded can, it allows her to relax. And it doesn't mean that she's fighting anymore, because she's got somebody who she can place her trust in. And in a world that is full of boys or is full of untrustworthy people or people that are disingenuous, who are lost, who are addicted to drugs, who are distracted by, you know, like really egotistical, stupid things, this is an amazing thing that you can bring to her. So it's just what I want you guys to understand from this is it's like, oh, it's not he versus she. It's actually how can we move into these roles more cleverly so that we can converge better and in a way that society isn't currently really actively allowing us to do that. So with some of these things, what I would love is, I know it's like a really diffuse topic, but I know these guys, but no one can go to the Amazon. And also, you know what, I would also say, I freaking champion the IT guy who can be the, it doesn't matter what you do. It's about your energy and it's about how you feel inside yourself. So if there are any like little things that you could think the guys could do on a daily basis or a ritual basis or a mindset that'd be helpful for them to take away from this podcast to give them something to gravitate towards.
Well, I want to clarify quickly the whole trusting thing, because there's a lot of white knight nice guys that are like, she can trust me, I'll never tell her secrets, I'll be nice to her. She, you know, that's not what I mean when I say she has to trust you. I mean that the deep inside you, there's this part of you which is so, so strong and so, so powerful. And that's what she needs to trust in. And it's not about, like, would I lie to her and all this kind of stuff. It's far, far deeper than that. And it's like, she wants to experience you as you, completely unapologetic. And for a lot of guys, it just comes down to what are your values? What are your values? Who are you? What do you represent? What do you believe? A lot of guys don't know that because they're so focused externally, mm-hmm. and they're kind of operating in the world, or their interface with the world is, what can I do and say or behave in the situation so that everyone's pleased?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you're kind of this kind of malleable, changeable kind of person.
And you can't trust someone that's malleable or no, changeable.
No. So it's like the first thing is you need to get... Because, you know, if you want... I want her to like me. You know, that girl in my office, mm-hmm. I want her to like me. So naturally, guys assume this, well, what can I do and say so that she likes me? But the thing is, in the act of doing that, you surrender your soul. You surrender your integrity, and therefore you actually part ways with the very thing which she's going to be not just attracted to, but fucking turned on by,
mm-hmm.
and fantasizing about you when she leaves the office. So, and this is why guys are so perplexed often when there's like the bad boy who's not quote unquote treating her right, and yet she's attracted to him, and mm-hmm. it infuriates guys, and they don't understand why that is. But the reason why it is because he is exactly who he says he is. And he acts and behaves, although maybe at times disrespectfully, and that's unfortunate, but he says and does what he thinks, and she can't change that. She will, you know, and she'll be complaining to you about how pissed off she is, but she'll still be sexually turned on by this guy. And the whole thing behind Red Knight is we want you to have these positive traits of the bad boy, while still being the nice guy that you are. That's the thing.
And that is so, like, honestly, that's like the perfect, if you describe like the perfect man.
There you go, right?
You've got someone who's, you know, he's unapologetic about who he is. He's centered in who he is. He does have that sexual energy, that polarity, which really turns you on. But then what a nice surprise, it's backed up by someone who is authentic, who is continuous as a person, who isn't a bad boy who's just completely going to screw everybody over, because he's evolved beyond that, where he's got his moral and his morals, his integrity. And by the way, this doesn't necessarily mean monogamous committed relationships. It means authenticity, it means honesty, it means strength. He's got all of that straightened out, and he's got his sexuality alive and present within him. And that is like the guy that women will go, oh my God, this man is like, wow.
Yeah.
And you see, so in the Western world or in day-to-day life as a woman, you honestly see so few active examples of it. If you can tap into this, it's going to be transformative.
Yeah. I mean, it's sexy if you're a jet fighter pilot, whatever, but you can be a computer programmer, an engineer. It doesn't make a difference. Sexy. It doesn't matter what it is. Guys are so caught up with like what car they drive and what they do and stuff. And trust me, it's irrelevant. It really, really
girls
is.
Girls actually
right?
really don't care. Very
no,
much
I mean,
all.
Even if girls say they care, they don't really know that the reason why they're attracted to that guy they're thinking of with the nice car and the cool job isn't because of the cool car and the cool job. They just don't realize the reason why they're attracted to that guy that they're thinking of when they say to you, yeah, you need a nice car, is because that guy had all the qualities we're talking about. And a girl who does, especially a girl who doesn't know about, you know, this whole industry, for example, like you'd know this, but another girl wouldn't know this. She would tell you, I would never date a guy who had this job and this car. And then a guy with that job and that car turns up having all the traits we're talking about, and she then goes, oh, actually, no, well, he's different.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is why I never take advice normally from a girl.
I'm the exception to the rule here.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I said normally, you know, because you've obviously spent a lot of time in this industry. But I'd say this as an exercise for guys to go and weigh and play with, like play with this idea. With all the women in your life, especially the ones you're attracted to, mainly the ones you're attracted to, start to experiment and play with in conversation, assuming an oppositional role. So she says, oh, I just went on holiday here, rather than saying, oh great, how was it, you say, really, why'd you go there? I'd go here instead. Or when she says I don't know, like when she says what did you do this weekend, you say like, I can't tell you, I don't know. Like, rather than giving you specific techniques and stuff, I want you to play with not being that, like, that pleasant, fluid, nice guy where you are basically assuming a kind of a feminine role in the conversation, meaning that you're kind of, you're ebbing, like, because conversation is kind of feminine in a way that you ebb and flow, and it kind of, it's constantly transient, and you're kind of with her. She raises this topic and then you go here and you go there. But the problem in that kind of conversation is that she's not experiencing your masculine edge, you know? So the only way she's going to experience your masculine edge in a very short space of time in a conversation is if she comes up against something energetically, and that will be expressed if you have an alternative opinion to the, like, and we talk about challenging and teasing and all these other things, but if you're the one guy in the office who's like saying to her, "Nah, I think you're wrong." Like, I tell you what, when I was, I've approached, you know, thousands of women on the streets, and I got to a point where I was getting quite good, you know, very, very confident. And I'd come across, like, girls that I really liked. They were, like, very hot, but they were also very geeky, and they liked, like, Japanese anime and all this kind of stuff. And whenever I found those girls, I got so excited, but I'd always fuck it up, because in the conversation, I'd be agreeing with everything they said, because I did think that everything they did was cool and everything was great. The problem with doing that is that then I came across like every single other guy in her life who just agrees with everything she says and right. stuff.
So I think also, I was going to add to this, I think having a clear and consolidated individual identity is super sexy in whoever you meet. So it's even, you don't even have to necessarily even think opposition, you just have to tell the truth. So well, it's about for self-censoring, because most men, like, you know, in a conversation, unless you're like, I don't know, Siamese twins or something, you will always have stuff that you disagree about, or not disagree with, you just have an alternative perspective, alternative opinion. And it's about embracing that and understanding that that is valid and better, rather than entering into a state of automatic agreement in order to people please. And I also would say one of the nicest ways that you can also lead and be masculine and expand her mind is by actually, if she's, you know, I always think of it this way, like, if people have perception, everybody has their own individual version of the world and their own kind of truth. Her truth and her way of seeing the world, it's like she's got one window onto the garden. What you can do sometimes by offering an alternative opinion, it's not challenging her in a way that's nasty. It's almost like you knock another window into her house. It opens her perception. It provides her with more stimulation. It gets her to identify who you are and build trust in relation to you. So again, it's not just oppositional for the sake of being oppositional. It's like, no, say what you think is the truth, stick with that. And through you being more centered and more comfortable in yourself, and through you censoring yourself less, you're actually going to broaden her perspective. And if her perception is that she's in the presence of someone who is strong, who's certain, who knows himself, who has this ability to open her mind to new ways of seeing things or new ideas, or provide a different perspective into things, this is a way that you can strongly add value to a woman's life as well. So again, with all these things that you're going to hear, entering into this energy is not necessarily combative or negative at all. In fact, it's often what women / people in general crave in their lives, because we get so little of it. I know there's loads more techniques we could go into, but we're like, this is like the longest podcast I've ever done.
Well, that's because I'm the best guest you've ever had.
Oh, really? I'm going to get you and Paul Janker and in together.
We'd just be laughing the entire time.
Do I run it?
Well, I'll just end by saying that challenging isn't negative. I actually like being challenged, because it's like, they say iron sharpens iron, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say challenge, I mean that, like, when you have a very, very strong identity, you will naturally challenge people. They say something you don't agree with and you tell them, you know. But the problem is, a lot of guys, because their whole reality is outward focused, and you say challenge, you know, a girl or express your opinions, they're not in touch with those opinions. So I would say the reason why they're focused outwards like that is because they're so afraid of judgment, rejection, losing those the validation they think they get from being a nice guy. Oh, you're so nice. Andy's so nice, isn't he?
Yeah.
So we're telling guys to do something that jeopardizes their entire identity. So that's why I tell guys, as an exercise, play with being oppositional for the sake of it, even if you agree with them, as an exercise, because what you will start to notice when you do that is, A, the girl doesn't, quote-unquote, reject you or treat you badly, and you will notice, the more you start to do that, that women start to actually respond to you better and more, and they kind of have more energy towards you, rather than maybe being as dismissive as they have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If you then just, even if you agree with her, even if she says, I've just come back from Ibiza and you love Ibiza, it's your favourite place. You say, oh, I don't like Ibiza. I've heard it's too commercial. It sounds trivial, but if you start doing that, you're going to learn very, very quickly that that women respect you more than everyone else in the office who is completely in line with everything. And then that should hopefully give you the courage to start developing your own opinions, your own values, your own ideas, so then you can just express those more. And when you express those more, you will find people start treating you differently.
Yeah, and I'm allied to that as well. And I would say the same to the women out there as well in the world. I think we live in a tremendous world of people pleasers where our own identities are watered down and not in a way that leads to many happy or positive or sexy relationships. Right, you've given so much information. I'm going to have a sit and a think about the stuff that you said. So it's been amazing. So if I would say, if the guys are like, ooh, red knight, where can they find out more about this passageway and this journey and this other form of masculine energy to tap into?
All right, plug time. Yeah, if you guys want to find out more, there's a free, as of doing this, it isn't even made yet. It's either going to be like a free report or not an ebook, but it's going to be like this kind of handbook that, like a digital handbook I'm going to be giving out for free. And it's going to be everything we've talked about, plus more, and it's going to be sort of really powerful. It's going to be like the entry point into this whole way of thinking, and it's going to have lots of powerful techniques and actionable stuff they can go and do right mm-hmm. now, because I think this is it's so important. And if this is something that guys don't do, if they don't look at this area, they are not going to end up fulfilled in life when it comes to their dating life, because this is the thing that's going to make women fantasize about you. And if, as a man, you can't have that. You can't have that energy where that future wife of yours, that future girlfriend of yours, you know, if you can't turn her on, you're not going to have a fulfilled life as a man. I'm sorry. So I'm very, very passionate about this. So we're going to make this handbook, this report. And you're going to find it if you go to lifeloaded.com/red knight. And it's night, obviously, with a K, not night as in nighttime.
Right.
So it's lifeloaded.com/red knight. And you can go there and download the ebook straight away and put the stuff into practice like right away. So go do that now.
And it is instant transformation sometimes by beginning to tap into some of this energy. Well, thank you. It's been really amazing. I've enjoyed our conversation. We've been hanging out most of the afternoon, actually, and yeah. I'm living and learning. So thank you again so much, Aslan, for coming on to my podcast. I truly appreciate it.
Well, you seduced me. I mean, you're wearing this nice dress.
I know. And, I've got into my feminine energy, guys.
I had no choice. I was seduced.
Seduced and, thank you. I'm going, girly. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this because I'm going to keep this podcast semi-clean. But if you like what we have to say, obviously we like to talk about dating and love and sex and romance and all that kind of stuff. But through looking at it through kind of a more intellectual, more interesting perspective than just going, hey, this is what you should text a girl, because that is just rubbish. If you like what I have to say, and you've enjoyed this, please subscribe. There's a podcast coming out every single week. I have interesting guests. They're super cool. We live and we learn. So thanks again for sharing my time with you, and I'll see you again in another week.
See you later.
Bye. Thank you for listening to my podcast today. If you want to find out more about me, please head to hayleyquinn.com/club, where I have a free 30-day membership available for you to my exclusive subscribers club. You can also catch up with me on YouTube at HayleyQuinnXX, on Instagram as HayleyQuinnX, and on Twitter as plain old HayleyQuinn. I'd love to hear your feedback on the show. Please engage with me, please reach out, and thank you again for your support.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.